Afternoon, TSN 690.
I do still feel that sense that if things don't get off to a good start, the crowd can turn on the Habs very quickly, and I don't think that'll be constructive for where they're at mentally right now with their game. But if they can get off to a good start, I think they're going to cruise in this game. I really do.
Dodonov bumped into, now Barkov finding Huberto. He's great with the puck, leaves it, Yandle shoots and scores. Keith Yandle off a drop pass, and 20 seconds in, the Panthers get the first goal of the game. Drouin back to collect it. He'll carry it along. Bank pass, a good one. Here comes Gallagher, right circle, shoots it, stop, big rebound, Galchenyuk, and he scores! Alex Galchenyuk! Well, we told you the Panthers' penalty kill has not been good. Canadians are trying to expose that again here. Drouin to Weber, shoots it, scores! Weber!
Shea Weber!
Stolen by Gallagher, nice move, right in, scores! Gallagher! Just under 11 left in regulation, 3-1 Canadians. Weber's going to get to it, winds up, shoots, scores! Wow, Weber! Here comes Dano into the zone, and at the goal line, at the corner, he'll take it behind the net, wrap around, Pacioretty, shoots and scores! No celebration from the captain, but you know, he's smiling on the inside. His second of the year, it's 5-1.
We got scored on, but you know, there was still almost 40 minutes left. And for us, it was important that we stuck to the game plan, but just started playing a little bit better. And when we did, you know, we started skating and moving the puck. Then they started taking penalties on us. And slowly but surely, we built some momentum.
Welcome back. It is hour number 3, Melnick in the afternoon on TSN 690, along with Rod Francis and Mitch Gallo. Mitch Melnick with you until 7 o'clock. Finally had a win. They got 5 goals. They got 2 on the power play. Their goaltender was just about the best player on the ice. That's 1. Let's go to Columbus.
Hockey insider Pierre Maguire, brought to you by Ye Olde Orchard Pub, with 6 locations in and around Montreal. YeOldOrchard.com.
He is working NBC Sports tonight. The Blue Jackets host the Sabres, who shut out the Red Wings last night. How are you, Pierre?
I'm good. And you know what? Bottle that game. That's the blueprint for how they have to win. When they're moving their feet and they're causing the opposition to chase them and taking penalties, that plays to their strength. If I was coaching against the Montreal Canadiens, the number one thing I'd put on my board before every game, force them to beat us 5-on-5. Do not let them go to the power play. Those 4 straight power plays in the second period, that crushed Florida, and that's not Montreal's fault. Montreal did everything they were supposed to do in that game in the second and third periods. I was really impressed by their effort in the second and third period.
Yeah, the Panthers, they kind of wore themselves out, right, killing those penalties.
Well, exactly. But if you are going, in this NHL in particular, if you're going to try to defend with the slash and use a stick as an equalizer, you're going to get into trouble. And when the Canadiens are moving their feet and they're attacking in waves, it forces the opposition to defend that way. So you got to play to your strengths. And Montreal, I thought, did that in the last 2 periods of the game.
All right, you heard Mitch Gallo here, Gallo Domus, predict a cruise to a win yesterday. Normally we have Pierre on tape and replaying something the next day. But just Gallo, I could tell that he really strongly felt it. You know, you went with your gut.
I did. It was a home game, a weaker opponent compared to some of the ones they played in the past, although I wasn't discrediting Florida. They were facing a backup goaltender, and it felt like there was a lot of pressure that had mounted. Plus, I looked at a lot of the stats on players, specifically Carey Price, and Price was due for a big-time game, which they got it, especially in the first period. So I just thought there was a lot to combine together for a win in that game last night.
I agree. I think it's a lot of what you saw last night was that frustration that Mitch Gallo is talking about. And the players, to their credit, clearly didn't want to disappoint the fans. And that's something we talked about. As a group, they needed to get together and say, fellas, we're playing on home ice here. We got to make this a tough place to play. Our fans are unbelievable. We got to get them excited about our brand. And then it looked like they did that the last 40 minutes. Hey, the first 20 wasn't a Rembrandt for them, but the last 40 was outstanding. Very, very strong.
Definitely helps for a goaltender to make a save early.
And here we go at the Bell Center. The Canadians, of course, move from our right to left, and the Donop jumps in the puck, turns to the circle, and a great save by Price. Right off the bat, 10 seconds in, he robs Barkov. Wow, what a start.
Well, and they needed that. They needed saves from Carey Price, and he gave it to them. I don't think anybody expected 8 seconds in, but there it was.
A great save on home ice by the home goalie is as good as a great goal. It gets the crowd into it. It forces the players to pay attention to what's going on the ice surface, and it really allows them, I think, to find their way. It gives them a little bit of confidence going forward, the guys playing in front of the goalie. So I've said this so many times, a great save is as good as a great goal on home ice.
That's a great point. So Mark Bergevin spoke today, Pierre. There was a request after the bad trip made by members of the media yesterday, and because it was game day, he put it off to today, and we carried it live between 12:15 and 12:30 or so. I just want to play you a few of what he said, a few moments of what Mark Bergevin said about a variety of topics, including the makeup of his team.
La réponse est dans la chambre, dans le vestiaire, c'est eux autres. Il n'y a pas personne de l'extérieur qui va venir nous aider. On est tous là ensemble. Puis en ce moment, on a une période difficile. Les joueurs squeezent le bâton. Puis ça devient une chose mentale. Fait que j'espère qu'ensemble, on va s'en sortir avec de la confiance.
So one can assume that's part of what he had to say. He did address the team, Pierre, Arpin Basu.
Did you address the team at some point?
Yes, I did. I won't tell you what I said, but I'll tell you when. It was before we got on the plane to come back from the West Coast.
All right, there you go. So you want to pick up on that?
Yeah, absolutely. First of all, do you remember what I was saying last week? They need to get together as a team in the room and or at dinner and decide, are we in this together? Are we part of the solution or are we part of the problem? They had to decide that as a group. And see, he's pushing the right button there because that's general managers can't go down to the room all the time and address the team. But there are certain times over the course of an 82-game schedule where they can come down and either be super positive with the team because the team's doing well, or they're going to have to get them straightened out and insulate the coaching staff. And I think Mark probably did that after the game in Anaheim. Clearly they needed something. It looks like they got something, which is really important for their group. But what he said about the jeu mental is absolutely correct, too. Guys do squeeze their sticks. But, Mitch, remember when we were talking about it last week? That's the key. He's not going to be able to go out and be Superman and make a deal here right now. There are just not a lot of teams that are really wanting to make a deal right now. So he doesn't have a lot of dance partners. That being said, I personally think there's a lot of smoke around the Canadiens in terms of teams that want to try to make a deal with them. I believe that just from people that I talk to in the business that are watching the Canadiens, whether it's on tape or watching them on TV or being at the rinks where they are. A lot of scouts are following their group. So I don't know if it's because Mark Bergevin has put it out there or because teams think that they can go out and get players from Montreal. It's going to be interesting to watch here the next 10 to 12 days. It really is. To see where the Canadiens are in the standings and to see whether they do have the answers in the room or the GM thinks, you know what, I got to go out and help these guys.
The start of the game, they could have scored 10 seconds in. Why? And then they score, we go down, can make a play, then two goals later, it's a different team, and they carry over in the third. That tells me it's not the skill, it's the confidence, and that's what they need, and I believe they will. Once in a while, there'll be a trade in November, December, but that's the way that the NHL is now.
And he did point out that he's talked to almost everybody, and he's not going to make a move simply to make a move, and he doesn't want to get his pocket picked. So yeah, there is a lot of chatter going on, no question about it.
Oh, I can tell you right now, I talked to two guys today, they're beating the bushes right now, they're pro scouts, they called me here in Columbus, and they asked me about the roster, so no, I mean, listen, that's the nature of the business. People call all the time, they're always looking for an edge, and as we've said so many times, you and I, in the NHL, everybody's going to call and be your friend, and they say, I'm going to give you a life jacket here. It's not a life jacket, it's weighted down and it's an anchor. Nobody wants to help you. They always want to hurt you. That's just how it is. They're going to smile right at you, and then they're going to try to fleece you. That's just the nature of the business.
Pierre McGuire in Columbus tonight on Melnick in the Afternoon on TSN 690. Gord Miller will join us after 6. We'll play Who Wore It. You could win tickets to an upcoming game at the Bell Center in about 10 minutes or so. Rod?
The fact that they scored different kinds of goals last night, Pierre, the beautiful shot from Weber off the face-off win, the scrambled face-off win, Gallagher around the net, Galchenyuk around the net, Max close to the net. When you have a bit of a diverse offense, can that help you kind of jumpstart and break out of a funk?
and it shows the players. You just said it so well, around the net, getting people around the net. Don't be outside the faceoff dots. Don't be outside the faceoff circle. Weber's one of the few guys in the league that can score from outside of those areas, but most guys have to be inside the circle or inside the faceoff dots in the offensive zone. Obviously, on the power play, it's a little bit different, and Weber showed that again last night. But I loved what you said, Rod, and it does help. It shows, and it's easy for the film, the video coaches, they can make tapes now for these guys and say, look, when you go to this area, you have a lot more chance to score than when you're staying on the outside. I thought it was great. I was, again, the last 40 minutes, that's the blueprint the Canadians need to follow. They should, if they want to follow the first 20, they're going to be in trouble. The last 40 is what they want to follow.
Now, the Canadians did call up McCarron and Sherbak for that game. I really liked Sherbak, Pierre. He was on the puck. He drew the penalty that led to the power play goal that got them on the board, the Galchenyuk goal. I'm just wondering, maybe the time in the American League to start the season did McCarron and Sherbak some good, but based on what happened with Hemsky, would Sherbak not have been a better case scenario? Some youthful enthusiasm from the start of the season, like with Mete, the decision
But they couldn't give it. He had a terrible camp.
Yeah, I would agree with you if he had a better camp. His camp was stinky.
But Hemsky's camp was stinky, too.
Yeah, but he's got proven man. He's a proven veteran player. He's been around the league a long time. They didn't sign him to go to the American Hockey League. But I hear your point. I have to agree with Mitch Melnyk on this one. You just, if you're building something as an organization, you just can't hand out jobs.
And the thing, we've talked a lot about this, about how to properly develop players, Pierre. And that is, if you have a guy who you think is going to become a successful NHL player, then make sure he spends time in the American Hockey League and not just hangs out in the AHL, dominates. Well, to start the season, Nikita Sherbak has dominated as a playmaker. He's picked up 9 points in 6 games. That's the reason he was called up.
And here's the key. It's one thing to get those points at the American Hockey League. It's another to redefine yourself in the NHL and be consistent enough to stay in the lineup. Mark Bergevin knows that. Claude Julien knows that. People that make their living evaluating players in the league know that. It's easy. I shouldn't say easy because that's not the appropriate term. It's more digestible to play one or two great games and then fall back because you just can't keep it at the right level. If he can show over the next 7 to 10 games, if he stays up that long, that he can consistently be a B-plus player or a B player, he's going to stay up. He won't go back. But that's going to be the thing. That's what fans need to watch. Can he be a consistently good B player or a B-plus player? And if he can, then he's going to stay.
Same way, you know, it's everyone is a good one in here, you know, we all can score and we just try and play the way we can, you know, be fast, be creative, and if it's there, we gotta make the plays. If it's not there, we're not gonna force it, you know.
All right, I like the fact that Nikita Sherbak is using the word creative. That's they need a jolt of creativity and energy and youth, and let's, you know, if you're a Habs fan, you cross your fingers and say, okay, hopefully here's a little bit of what might happen.
Right, and that's why I love the youth on the team. And Mete was another great example out of camp. Now there's Sherbak. Drouin's a young guy. But just when I saw that, the Hemskys and the Streits to start off this losing streak, those are the type of players that's like, okay, it's a young man's league. They need to go younger right now.
That's fine, and I agree. The problem is you can say you want all these young guys in the lineup, but I think the organizational vision for the team is to compete for a legitimate playoff spot and go on a run. And I don't know if they have enough young guys that would allow them to do that right now. That's part of the problem.
Here's what he said about moving forward as a team and what kind of team the Canadians are. Skill-wise,
I believe this team. You know what? There's elite teams in the league, and there's teams who are all fighting to that cluster of team. They're all good teams. They're all, you know, it's every night somebody could win. Depends how you play. And I believe when that cluster of team, we're a cluster of a good team that wants to get in, wants to make the playoff and make damage. Yes, I believe that.
All right. As you do, right?
That's what I've been telling you since the beginning of the year. That's where I think they are as a group. It's not a knock on their team. The general manager agrees with me. He's realistic. Do they have the roster to compete with the Tampa Bay Lightning over an 82-game schedule? They do not. Do they have the roster to compete probably with the Columbus Blue Jackets on an 82-game schedule? Probably not. Do they have a roster that can compete against the Pittsburgh Penguins or the Washington Capitals? Those are the elite teams in the East. Probably not. Or the Toronto Maple Leafs. Probably not. But doesn't mean you can't win a seven-game series because you got a goalie.
That's
my point. Yeah. You just got to get it. It's like the lottery. You can't win the lottery unless you're in it. You got to have a ticket. Well, the only way you can win in the playoffs is to get in. That's why I'm telling you, I don't see them as a home ice team, not in their division. It's just stacked against them with Tampa and Toronto in particular. But I do see them as a team that can compete for one of the last two spots for a playoff position as long as Carey stays healthy and as long as the power play gets to go to work. If they don't get to go to work, 5-on-5 is going to be really difficult for them to score. It just, that's the reality of the roster they have.
Tampa Bay, man, they're just showing no signs of slowing down. Stamkos and Kucherov just keep piling up the points. Both of them have 10-game streaks going.
Well, Nemestikov is the unseen and underappreciated person on that line. He's just darting around. The confidence that kid has right now with the puck on his stick has been phenomenal. He's hunted down a lot of pucks for Stamkos and for Kucherov. Tampa Bay was good for the first 40 minutes of that game. They were a stink bomb in the last 30. Last 20, I should say. They were not very good at all. Vasilevsky bailed them out in the third, I can tell you that right now. But the first 40 minutes, they were really, really good.
Pierre, if they weren't able to maneuver that Sergachev-Drouin trade, how tough a spot would they have been in right now with the salary cap?
I don't know. I haven't studied that. But obviously, you know, and everybody's going to take little cheap shots at the Canadiens because of the way Sergachev's playing. It was a deal that addressed the organizational needs for both teams. We talked about it when the deal went down. I wasn't in love with it because he was the Canadiens' best prospect. And you were getting a little bit older. Sergachev is younger, obviously, than Drouin. Not by a lot, but if you look at the deals the Canadiens have made, they've made their team a little bit older in every deal. That's just how it's worked out. Drouin's going to be fine with Montreal. Sergachev's going to be really good in Tampa. He's going to be really good. One of the reasons why Tampa had to do that deal, and you could ask Steve Yzerman, I know it sounds like revisionist history. It's not. In his first draft in 2010, they took Brett Conley. And rather than taking him, they should have taken Cam Fowler. But they didn't. Then they took, a few drafts later, they took Jonathan Drouin instead of Seth Jones, who went one pick later. So when you look at it, they had some different ideology that forced them into making a trade to get a younger defenseman as part of their group, and they were able to do that with Montreal. I'll just tell you this right now. Sorry to cut you off. If they had drafted Cam Fowler and if they had drafted Seth Jones, they would never have drafted Jonathan Drouin. I'm just telling you, they wouldn't have.
And if the Canadiens had handled their situation at their back end a little better, they wouldn't have traded Sergachev. Okay, so I want to ask you about another team that's struggling.
Yeah. It's Nugent Hopkins up to Lucic, coming to the Penguins' end, shoot it towards the net, missing. Off the boards, picked up by Malkin. 2-on-1 if he hurries. Left side, gives the pass ahead. Here's Kessel, went on goal. Hey! Shoots and scores! Bill Kessel with a brilliant pass from Malkin.
And they beat the Oilers 2-1 in overtime. Connor McDavid did score for Edmonton. But do you see any signs of Edmonton shaking this off?
I'm worried for them, and I'll tell you why I'm worried for them. The Draisaitl injury set them back. That's pretty apparent. Nugent Hopkins, I think, has played really well for them. Connor's been up and down. They look slow on the wings. I used the term today on the radio, pedestrian. They look pedestrian on the wings. And I think that's a problem for them. When you have elite centermen like they do when everybody's healthy, you need wingers that can keep up to the pace of the game. I'm not sure with the way they're constructed right now. Yeah, they're a heavy team. Maybe they're built more for the playoffs than they are for an 82-game marathon, but they don't have a lot of pace on the wings. That's pretty apparent when they play against a quicker team like Pittsburgh. That stood out to me watching it.
Well, I remember last year when we were talking about different guys the Canadiens should target, you were a big fan of Jordan Eberle. And on the speed on the wings thing, can you explain the Strome for Eberle deal that happened in the summer?
No, I think they wanted to move Eberle's money. They knew going forward they were going to have issues because of the Draisaitl and McDavid contracts. They were not in a rush to move Nugent Hopkins. They know going forward they've got defensemen like Oscar Klefbom and Darnell Nurse that are going to need deals at some point. So I think the Eberle deal was more to move him, even though you look at his goal-scoring consistency, it's pretty crazy. But it was to get cheaper. It was to get some money on the cap more than anything else, I believe.
All right, final one, Pierre, just ahead of our Who Wore a Jersey contest. I teed off earlier in the show, but there was a report out there from Mario Tremblay that Alex Galchenyuk had done a couple of stints in rehab over the summer. This is Marc Bergevin responding to the report, the rumor.
Yeah, well, like I said in French, is every year, and it's since even my days as a player, you get a card at the beginning of the year with a number where if you need help, you call, and that's strictly confidential. Nobody knows, and that's why the program is called confidential, and that's why we don't comment on that stuff, and it's. They're trying to help the players if players need help. And again, it could be one player, 10 players, we wouldn't know.
Pierre, I think
that's well handled, number one. That's really well handled by Mark. I really respect that answer. And I'm very well aware of that program. And players, it's exactly bang on what he just said. And I really respect that answer. And that's the appropriate answer to give.
Yeah, I think it's unfortunate that if it's supposed to be confidential, how this kind of information would come out. And for whatever reason, it's just you can understand the reticence of maybe some guy, the next guy who might have an issue, saying, "Wait a minute, you're telling me this is confidential and it's all over town."
Right. I'm going to take you back. One of the things I really admire about, there's a lot to admire about Brian Burke. I know he's got some people that are doubters of him, but there's a lot to admire about Brian Burke. He's a really cerebral guy, and he figured out a lot of things before a lot of people even thought of him. One of the things he did when I worked for him, and I thought it was really smart, we didn't want players to get in trouble for drunk driving. That was part of the deal. Just didn't want players to get in trouble. Brian set up a program with the trainers, our trainers. One of them was Bud Gavea, and basically the players had an 800 number to call Bud, and they knew that if there were any issues at all, to leave their car wherever they were, to call the trainer, and the trainer would organize transportation for them without the team ever knowing. Everything was confidential. And I can tell you, a lot of guys took advantage of that. And I think it's the same thing with this drug situation or alcohol situation with the league, that they provide that card. I think that's another sign of how much forward thinking has gone on in the league in terms of trying to cooperate and make it a better place for players to earn a living. Listen, it's part of society. We're all part of society. That's a societal problem. You know, the opioid thing is everybody's talking about that. I'm in middle America right now. You walk around downtown Columbus, people are talking about the opioid crisis.
Yeah.
That's a reality. It's the reality of life, not just in the NHL.
What time did you finally make it into Columbus last night?
And time to make the hockey games, but not by much. I think I told you yesterday, I got to the airport at 11. I don't think we took off till 5:30 or 5:45. So I got here in time for the games, but
Blue Jackets.
It was a long travel day.